Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with a host new to KHOI, Larry Sloan. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning.
Please introduce yourself. I don't think I can do you justice.
Well, I'm just me. My name is Larry. Along with my wife, own the Talent Factory in Nevada, Iowa. It used to be the Camelot Theater. It's located in the Camelot Theater, actually. And we converted it from a movie theater to a live entertainment venue. So we've got a lot of great acts coming in, including one of our guests that we've got today. So we got wonderful things happening.
No, that's great. And I'm so pleased that you came to us. 2 weeks ago, Larry was brought to us by his buddy Wildman. And last week, he interviewed Ed Fallon as Ed walked through Amish country in Indiana as part of his 9-month-long Great Climate March for Climate Change. Now, you're already co-hosting the show. Promotion comes fast at KHOI. One of the reasons I was so pleased that Larry came to us was that his purpose was to reach more of those in our listening area by broadening our programming. And one of the ways he plans to do that is to bring in more local musicians, as you'll hear a little bit later. And he's got a very special one today. But before we find out about him, I want to give a preview of what you can expect for the rest of the hour. It's varied. In addition to Larry's songwriter guest, Cynthia McClure also has an interview with singer-songwriter Elizabeth Zimmerman, who will be performing at the Octagon Festival this coming weekend during the Maximum Ames Festival. And before we go, Kay Reputuck will tell us about the work of this month's community appreciation organization, Bethesda Lutheran Church. Now, I think it's time to turn the mic over to you, Larry.
Ah, well, I've always wanted a mic of my very own, so this is fun for me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to play over here at KHOI. It's going to be fun for me, and I hope it's fun for everybody out there. So if you enjoy it, tell them so. Call in, let them know, write in. If you didn't enjoy it, tell your enemies and get them to listen. I'll take anybody. I don't care.
So audience. And if you want to call in, it's 515-292-2878.
All right. Always pays to have a phone babe online. Susan, thank you. We're going to have a good time this morning. We've got one of my favorite people from the Talent Factory. He's one of our performers, one of the Talent Factory regulars cast. And Tom has been with us almost since we opened and lended his talents.
Yes. Tom Richards, whose song Backtracking brings in every local talk show and takes it out. So it's my favorite song in the morning.
Is that what you're going to do today, Tom? Is that what we're going to queue up for you?
We've already played Backtracking.
Oh, we've already played it.
Yes.
Okay, I missed it. Wow, I got to wear these headphones more often. Obviously, I'm missing all the good stuff. Well, at any rate, Tom, first of all, how long have you been doing music?
Well, I'm getting to be an old man. And my mom started me. She handed me a ukulele probably when I was 8 and taught me how to play Show Me the Way to Go Home, and That's Where My Money Goes. She had been in the Willard Quartet at Nebraska Wesleyan, and they had made it onto the radio, and her dad had heard her on the radio and put the kibosh on her performing career because of the moral hazards.
Sure.
But I think she wanted her son to be a performer.
Well, it sounds like he did. Now, you had a lot of gospel background. You do a lot of songs that really have kind of a spiritual meaning.
Yes. I grew up in the church, in the Methodist church. And, that's been a big influence.
Oh, that's great. Now, you play guitar. Do you play any other instruments?
A little mandolin. That's the theme song that brought the program in. You probably weren't listening to it because you were thinking about everything else that's coming at you. But that Al Harris and I recorded that years ago, and it's kind of a strange, kind of a Ventures sounding thing with some reverb on it. But anyway, mandolin, and I played woodwinds in high school, saxophone. I was left-handed tenor saxophone player.
Wow.
As a matter of fact.
Now, you play your guitar upside down, I've noticed, on stage and everything. Mm-hmm. And you play a typical left hand. You got it pretty strung.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, it was built that way for you, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, Tom performs regularly with us. Beck, do we have the music queued up for Tom? Okay, we're going to play a little music for Tom that Tom has written.
This is KHOI Community Radio, and I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with Larry Sloan of the Talent Factory in Nevada, with his guest, Tom Richards.
All right, and here we go.
Sung in the sky, heard you'd gone to fields of flowers, lovely land, it's way up high. My dear old friend, I still remember our hearts were young and free back then. I always thought see your gentle smile again. Seasons change, days grow longer, reasons change, tears go by. What remains of all that happened was that we never said goodbye. Out the days on this old highway, long, long years I'm bound to roam. I'll think of you and carry on. Someday find you when I come home.
Right. Wow. Great song, Tom. Yeah, when I listen to that, I kind of hear some roots in there of maybe some Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and kind of the old folk singers. It's a great sound for you. Great voice.
Well, it's a colorful voice, I'll say that. And that's just a song about someone I knew many, many years ago and heard that she had passed away. So I wrote a song about
that's
it.
That's nice. That's nice. Do me a favor, write me a song sometime, but don't wait until I pass away to do it. I want to be able to hear it and enjoy it before I go. Really neat. Hey, just outside, looking at the weather, we're going to go to our weatherman outside. Can you tell me what it's doing?
Well, I think it's raining out here for sure. I'm not positive.
Well, that helps. Always glad to find out. So it's likely raining outside. We're going to have to hope our correspondent doesn't drown while he's out there. Looking up, he's probably got his eyes closed because he doesn't want to get water in his eyes while he drowns. So,
this is KHOI Community Radio, and I am your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with Larry Sloan of the Talent Factory in Nevada, with his guest, songwriter Tom Richards. Elizabeth Zimmerman, one of the featured performers in next week's Maximum Ames Festival, spoke earlier this week with Cynthia McClure. So let's listen to a different musical voice.
This is Cynthia McClure. I'm with Elizabeth Zimmerman in the KHOI studios. But you're going to be a live performer there.
Yes, I am.
At the Octagon Arts Festival, October 28th. And she's a local girl and local talent. And I shouldn't say come out and see her, but it should be a great day. One of those perfect fall days. If you have the ability and you want to come out and see somebody doing live music, it's a great opportunity. Are you excited about it?
I am extremely excited. I've always wanted to play during the festival. I've played at other events, and I'm always at the festival. I actually worked at the Octagon when I was a student at Iowa State, and I've gone to the art festival since I was little. So mm-hmm. I grew up in Ames, so. But this is the first time that I'll be playing officially for the festival. So
yeah. This is a big time for you then.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been an artist for a while now.
I've been playing music since I was little.
Big part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
What time are you going to be playing?
I'm playing from 10 to 11, so right the early part of the festival.
So what music are you going to be playing?
I'll probably be playing a variety of music from my most recent album, which came out last year, and then probably some new stuff that I'm working on right now.
I'll be playing a couple of her songs. Here is what Elizabeth Zimmerman is going to be playing at the Octagon Arts Festival Saturday, October 28th.
Begin Again from Suspended.
What inspires you in your music?
I have a lot of inspirations. Musicians, the Beatles, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, all the singer-songwriters of that time period, and in local music too. I'm really inspired whenever I go see the local shows, which are happening all the time in Ames.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. We have a great music scene in. Mm-hmm. And Maximum Ames is putting on their festival, mm-hmm. too. So.
Yeah, which is actually at the same time as the art festival. So I am playing another show later that same day on Sunday.
Boy, you have a busy weekend.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully we'll be going to more shows than performing, though, because that's always fun to do.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Maximum Ames definitely pulls it mm-hmm. together. You said the Beatles inspire mm-hmm. you. What other influences inspire you?
Well, like I said, Bob Dylan is huge. A lot of those singers who wrote a lot of intricate lyrics. Joni Mitchell is a huge influence. Oh, yeah. A lot of people have told me that on my singing style. But I also am really inspired by blues and jazz. So whenever anyone asks what kind of singer I am, I always say I'm a jazz singer, really. So
it's very soulful music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially what I'm doing now, which is more soul, blues, groovier music. been playing with a local musician who's a drummer, Will Stone. And so we've been doing a lot of rhythm-oriented music, which is fun.
What inspires you to work with somebody?
I guess I like to work with people who play blues and jazz or sort of orient themselves in that direction more. Actually, I might be playing with Dylan Boyle on Sunday at the Art Festival, just a couple songs here and there. So he's played on my albums, all the blues guitar on there. So I love that. And I played with Jen McClung. She and I like to sing together a lot. Our harmonies just work together. We really love that. So
you're a local. You went to Ames High here?
Ames High. Iowa State. Yep. I was in choir.
You know, you have your roots deep here and your family
mm-hmm.
lives here.
Yep.
So this is great.
I love it here. It's a great place to live.
Yeah.
Never wanted to leave.
Where do you see your career going in the future? Where would you like to go?
That's an interesting question. Actually, I have no ambition to do this full time. I really do like to have it as a side thing, having the stability of a job because I work on campus as an academic advisor at Iowa State. So I like that, and I like to be able to just go home and then do my music thing on the side. And it's satisfying because it's really for me more than anything else. I love to share my music, something I have to do.
You have great music. So
yeah, hopefully, I guess what I see in the future is just more performances, more collaboration. Same thing I've already been doing, just a little bit more.
But you don't want to be the struggling artist living out of their van.
Not really.
Going from gig to gig across the
country.
That
does not appeal to me.
That story has been played out for many, many artists and still is. So, yeah.
I think of myself more of a studio musician than a performer. I think I like to go in and perfect the music that I'm writing and just have that final product in my hand. So I love doing that more than actually going out and playing, which I do enjoy as well, but it's really more fun for me to sit in the studio. So
this is your bliss. You found your bliss.
Yes. Yep.
Wow, that's great.
So as long as I have time to do the recording and occasional playing, I'm happy. Yep.
This is great. You're really a nice person, and I hope it all works out for you.
Well,
I mean, I'm glad that you found this for yourself, because a lot of people, they don't find what makes them happy. And they just kind of go through life until something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, I encourage people to find your bliss. Do what gives you joy and makes life meaningful for you. And so we're going to listen to some more of Elizabeth Zimmerman, and I hope this inspires you. Check out the Octagon Arts Festival, September 28th, and Maximum Ames. She's going to be playing both of those.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be playing a couple of her songs. Here is what Elizabeth Zimmerman is going to be playing at the Octagon Arts Festival Saturday, October 28th.
Just singing the blues from Stuff of Dreams.
I'm always happy when it rains. Seems like clouds above will wash away the pain and keep me from despair. I'm singing the blues and waiting for the day when my sorrow here. used to be down a long time ago. Today's sky's clear. I'm singing the blues and wishing to see someone whose arms would take hold of me. Those years are memories. You were all wrong. So how do I
So, Elizabeth, you've mentioned that you're a studio musician.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were just a songwriter and doing this for, you know, other people, mm-hmm. you'd be happy doing that?
I think so. I think if someone was willing to pay me money just just to write music and produce albums, that I probably would do that. Yep.
That's a great aspect of this story, because there's a lot of people out there that do that, you mm-hmm. know, and they're the behind-the-scenes people. And if one of our local talents actually becomes one of those great behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. inspirations. So has anybody ever contacted you to write songs?
A few contacts, but I didn't know if they were really legitimate or not. Now with everything being online, you never know who's going to find it and talk to you. So I rely heavily on my good friends who know more about the music industry than me, like Brian Dudley. Rachel Dudley here in Ames, so they help me
My
albums and give me advice on that stuff. So,
you know, your ambition is very modest, but you have found what makes you happy here in Central Iowa. So this is great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Zimmerman has just been talking with you and playing a few of her songs. And we're going to now move on to a different time and a different place with Ed Fallon. The last time we talked to Ed last week, he was walking through Indiana in Amish country. And he was planning to stay there. He was so exhausted from walking for months and months and months and losing weight. And he didn't think he was going to go to New York. But I think things changed. And I think that we will be able to get a live report from him. I really wanted to hear from him because in Iowa, we've almost had a news blackout about the Great Climate March. The Des Moines Register, which I read faithfully every day, did not, in its regular printed section, have one word about it, as far as I could find. The U.S. World had two small articles describing the march as in the tens of thousands. On the other hand, if you went on the web to Democracy Now!, you could see the video of the three-hour segment of the parade that KHOI broadcast live on Sunday. In addition, you could see photos of the various groups assembled. And in addition, you could see pictures of the sympathy groups that were meeting around the world, similar to the one we had here in Ames. Let's see if we can get hold of Ed Fallon and get a first-hand report of that parade in New York. Ed, were you there to see it?
Yeah, sure. Well, it was, either way, whether it was 300,000 or 400,000, it was more people than will ever attend a Chicago Cubs game. It was a lot of people, and more successful than a Chicago Cubs season, too, I would add. I mean, when you bring together that broad of a coalition and have that many interest groups on the same page talking about and a critical issue, you've got something to pay attention to. And, yeah, I was pleased to see it on the front page of the New York Times and also on the front page of USA Today. I've heard varying reports about the extent to which other mainstream media covered it, and that would be unfortunate if they didn't. It just seems almost by design that they would ignore it.
Sounds like you are just a little out of breath. Did you do some walking? You said something about passing the whole parade. How did that go?
Passing which?
You said you walked from one end to the other.
Oh, yes. I started at the very front of the march, or close to it, and then worked my way back. And I had plenty of time to get to the back where the Great March for Climate Action was assembled. It took the folks in our group about 3 to 3.5 hours or more, maybe, to get to the starting point. That's how long it was. It took us that long just to get to the point where you start. So a parade or march, if you will, that started at 11:30 really didn't get finished till, oh, probably about 5 or 5:30.
And now, what street was this in New York?
Well, it came down the west side of Central Park and then along the southern edge of Central Park, and then headed south on 6th Avenue through Times Square, which I'd never been to before. That was a pretty, well, it was the most shameless broadcast of consumerism I've ever seen. Maybe that was a good reason to be there. But then we finished down by Penn Station, which anybody who's traveled into New York by train has probably been to. But, I don't know all the haggling that went into the route, but apparently it was quite a complicated decision involving what organizers wanted and what the police wanted and what a bunch of other people, including probably taxi cab drivers, wanted. So, at any rate, it was good to see so many different people coming together. The front end of the march was indigenous peoples. And also frontline communities that are most likely to be impacted first and most severely by the predicted, changes occurring with climate change. So it was great to see a very broadly represented cross-section of those communities up front, followed by labor. I mean, that's been a challenge, is to get labor unions to look beyond the handful of jobs that might come with, for example, building a pipeline, and look beyond that to the more sustainable jobs that come with greater investment in wind and solar, and for that matter, in conservation. So it was nice to see labor pretty well represented, including the United Auto Workers.
Well, that's interesting. Well, of course, the United Auto Workers may be building electric cars that are solar-powered. Is that right? Sometime in the near future.
Why not? They're building them now. They could be building more. So, that was all very good. And in any event like this, of course, you get your groups that, you might describe as on the fringe of the American, political debate, whatever that debate is about. PETA was well represented.
PETA?
PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or maybe as some jokingly like to refer to the other group, People for Eating Tasty Animals. But they were there, they were colorful, they were clever, and they were in your face. The Communist Party was also for some reason there. Just a really wide range of organizations and people. I saw, other folks with a political bent there as well.
How about Christian conservatives? Were there Christian conservatives there?
There were a lot of Christian groups there. I didn't happen to notice whether there were any particularly representing the conservative, the evangelical perspective, but I know that there are plenty of folks in that tradition that do understand the need for caring for creation. So,
yes.
Again, overall, I'd say folks on a very, very wide, broad spectrum of the political reality here in America.
Well, looking at the coverage that I could see, it looked like the groups were very well organized. So it was really a demonstration in the sense it was a demonstrating these are people who are concerned with climate change. These are people who are concerned with climate change. It wasn't just, you know, a hodgepodge of 300 to 400,000 people.
Yeah. And there were people, again, groups from different perspectives concerned with climate change. And there were some, frankly, who were probably using it as an opportunity to advance a cause that is pretty, you know, pretty, for whom climate change is pretty much a sidebar. But, you know, that happens and that's okay. It swells your numbers and you've been inclusive.
Well, I know that the numbers were much larger than expected. I mean, I heard projections beforehand. Well, you know, maybe it'll be 100,000 and, you know, it could just be tens of thousands. And that may be where that number got into USA Today. Tens of thousands. But it occurred to me, it was a lovely day, and if you lived in New York, you wouldn't have to do anything but walk or take the subway or a bus over and join the march. Isn't that true?
Yeah. I mean, the subways, I heard, were pretty packed. I was on one early enough in the day where it was crowded but not unusable. I heard it got pretty darn clogged up later in the day. Yeah, your best bet in New York is to walk.
What about the observers? I mean, obviously, the sidewalks wouldn't have been bare. There must have been people watching it.
Oh, there were a lot of people watching. And again, I'd say most people were there to participate, but there were certainly some folks who were looking on. There was a group of people meditating the entire duration of the march. At one point on the edge of Central Park. There were drummers, lots of music as well. Again, a very colorful event and one that was very positive and upbeat about an issue that's very serious and very, very dire, as the repeated reports coming out of the UN tell us.
That sounds like a very, very interesting day, shall we say. And we'll leave you back to walking through Ohio on your way to Washington, D.C., right?
Right. Yes, and today on our way toward, we'll arrive in Toledo on Friday, Toledo, Ohio. Yeah, so far the weather here has been beautiful.
Enjoy it.
All right.
Thank you. Susan. Bye. This is KHOI Community Radio, and I'm your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with Larry Sloan, who will be bringing back our guest Tom Richards later in the program. But next we have an interview for our Community Service Appreciation Organization of the Month, which is Bethesda Lutheran Church. So let's listen in to what Kay Puttock learned.
I'm here today with Dorothy Dyer Hansen from the clothing closet at Bethesda Lutheran Church. And she's going to talk to us about this community service. Welcome to Local Talk, Dorothy. So glad you could come.
Thank you very much.
I understand that the clothing closet has had a pretty long history, about 40 years, is that right?
Yes, it is. We started it in 1973, and we have been going regularly ever since, open 3 times a week for customers to come in and receive free clothing. We're in our 41st year now.
And what days, when can people come and pick up clothes?
People can come Monday and Wednesday mornings from 9:30 until 11, and on Tuesday evenings from 6:30 until 8.
And I understand that you have a food pantry there at the church, too. So
we also have a food pantry at Bethesda, and it is open almost all the same times that the clothing closet is open, except they are also open on Thursdays, and we are not.
Yes, so people can come and pick up clothes and pick up food at the same time.
Yes, it makes it sort of convenient for everyone.
It's just that the food pantry is open more. So you have Tuesday evening as well from 6:30 till 8.
Yes.
Is there a limit to the number of times people can come, say, every month? Or?
Yes, they can come only once a month, and this is noted on a card. When they come in, they need to provide us with their ID, and we fill out a card, and they put all the members of the people in their household on the card as well as their ages. And then it's also noted, the date is noted, so that they could come September 29th, and then they could come again October 1st.
Because it's in the next
month.
Once
a month, yes.
And each time they can pick up how much?
They could pick out three items per person for each family, like three long-sleeve shirts, three short-sleeve shirts for each member of the family, and also one coat for each person per season.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a lot of clothes, actually.
Yes, it is.
That must take a lot of storage space.
We do have quite a bit of storage. We're located in the basement of Bethesda Lutheran Church, and we store a lot of things out of season in the back closets. However, we try not to keep too much of that.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. If you have, so, yeah, I noticed it says bring clothes in season.
Yes.
Because especially winter clothes, they tend to be thick, and they, boots and things like that take up a lot of room. And it's, this is all free, of course. The clothes are all free.
Yes, everything is free, and all they need to provide is their ID. Mm-hmm. We have many international, some are international students. We have agencies who bring people in who are in need.
So the international students, for example, they might have just come from a hot country where they didn't need any.
Yes,
clothes,
and they come and they
need warm,
especially
clothes.
In the fall or winter, they need mm-hmm. warmer clothing. And we have people who are in need if they've had a fire in their home, or we have people who just have many children and they need new clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So and no questions asked, only that they provide the ID.
Right. So fires, I hadn't really thought of that, but if you have some kind of disaster or a tornado, I suppose, too.
Yes, any kind of disaster, anyone that needs help. And we do have blankets and towels and sheets, but we keep those, we have them ask if they need those because we don't have enough on hand to set out freely for people to take.
So if you're thinking about donations, this is something you could use as a donation, is sheets and towels.
Yes, all donations are brought in, and then they're sorted, and we have some people who only do the sorting, and then they're put on the shelves, and the unusable things are passed on. So we do need things that are in good repair and in season
mm-hmm.
and clean.
But especially, it sounds like you could use sheets and towels and things like that.
Yes, we could. Mm-hmm. Yes. That would be very helpful.
About how many volunteers do you have? Working?
We have 40 volunteers on the three shifts. And usually the people only work, some of them work twice a month, but usually most of them work just once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then most of them are Bethesda members. However, some are not. They are members of the community.
Do you know how this clothing closet got started? Is there a story connected with that?
Well, I happened to be one of the ladies that went to Waterloo and Cedar Falls back in 1973 to see their clothing rooms and to see how those churches operated their clothing room. And we came back to Ames and we started the clothing closet and
So it was a definite decision. It wasn't somebody in the church saying, oh, I need some clothes. And
it's operated under the Bethesda Women's Ministry Board.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us that were on the board, I guess at the time, went to view other clothing rooms to see
and how they work.
How they operated and how they were set up.
I see. Mm-hmm. Could you use any more volunteers?
We could use some people to check the bin on like one day a week and take the clothing down and sort through it.
Now, when you say the bin, this is a place where people...
There's a clothing bin at the west end of the education unit, and it is marked, and it's like a big mail bin, and that is where people bring their donations and put them in that bin.
So suppose I had a donation to make. I'd turn up at Bethesda Lutheran, and I'd presumably go in and speak to the secretary or...
You can just put it in the bin, or if
How would I know where the bin is? And
it's just inside the door of the west entrance, yes, of the education unit. And if you want, for tax reasons, if you want a receipt, you can go to the office and receive a receipt for the donations that you bring.
So if I just show up at the church with my offerings, there's not really much chance I'd put it in the wrong place, or...
No, there's a bin, and it's clearly marked. It's a large bin.
And it's marked as you walk in, more or less.
Yes, and we ask only two bags per customer to come, and if you're bringing donations.
Why is that?
Because we don't have enough help
to sort it.
Yes, and sometimes we are very much inundated with many, many bags of clothing brought in at one time.
That sounds like you really could use more volunteers, as you say, to sort through the bins.
Yes, we do. And we do have some that just do that. They sort when we are not open for customers. But it keeps us busy watching that daily because we cannot let it become overflowing, which it has sometimes. And for that reason, we ask for only two bags to be brought in by each family.
They could bring some more maybe the next week.
Yes. Yes. And we appreciate it.
Okay. Do you have any particularly interesting or moving stories connected with the clothing closet?
Well, the things that we remember most are those who come who are in much need of clothing, people who are homeless, people who have left their home with just the clothes on their back because of a bad family environment or situation.
Like a domestic violence?
Yes.
Is that pretty common?
We have had several, that way. And we also have families that, like the ones that come from other countries that are in need of clothing. And we also provide Ames schools with coats for children who appear at school with not a winter coat. Mostly the Ames schools, but any schools around are welcome to come.
That's awful to think of children turning up at school without a coat.
Yes.
Does that happen often?
Well, I have taken coats out to some of the schools because I didn't know sizes, so I took several coats and went out to some of the schools that have called. And the school's counselors know that we are there, and we also... help out with Beloit, too, if any of the children at Beloit need extra clothing.
Mm-hmm. Now, if that happens, if the school calls and says, say we've got three children that need coats, do they sort of follow up on that? And because clearly the parents could have come and got the coats themselves, which they clearly don't know they could do. Do they follow up and make them aware of the clothing closet?
I would think that they would, and I also would think that the parents would, want to know, where the winter coats came from.
Right. But you don't know about that, if there's any kind of follow-up there.
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's horrible to think that, I tend not to think there's that much poverty in a place like Ames. But
yes.
I guess it's everywhere.
Yes, we see it a lot.
Yeah, so you get all sorts of different people then, students from abroad and whole families from abroad.
Yes.
People who are in some kind of crisis, either because their house burnt down or because they've left their home because of domestic violence.
Yes.
All sorts of reasons, and of course homeless people. You've been in on this from the beginning, right?
Yes. I was involved with this beginning of the clothing closet, but then when my own family was young and I worked outside the home, I didn't work for a while, and then after I retired, I became involved again with it.
Mm-hmm. So about how long do most of the volunteers, how long do they stay, or how long have they been there? Are they old hands?
Some of them have worked many, many years. The ones that work on Tuesday night usually are people who are still working with a job outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come on Tuesday evening and help. So that works out for them to help. After they get home from their other jobs.
And it's not every month, I think, because you have so many volunteers.
It's about once a month.
It is once a month.
There are a few that work twice a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but so that's not terribly onerous either.
No, and it's an hour and a half once a month.
But you could use more, especially more people
Yes, we could. We could use some help. Just coming by the church maybe once a week, if they would take one day of that week to come and see if the bin is in need of emptying and then take the clothes down and sort through them.
Okay. Now, if people want to volunteer, how do they go about that? They should look at the website, presumably.
Yes, or they could call Bethesda Lutheran Church office.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should say what the number is right now.
Bethesda Lutheran Church is 232-6256.
232-6256. And just say that they're interested in volunteering at the clothing closet.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be directed about how to proceed from
there. Yes, uh-huh. And we'll meet with them and show them what needs to be done. And they don't have to put things away. If they could just sort through and take the good things and put them on a table that we have there, then when the workers come in to work on the wait on the customers, they also help put things away.
I see.
So we keep busy that way.
What do you have particular guidelines for the kind of clothes that people should bring? You mentioned they should be in good repair and not.
Yeah,
not
we don't have a lot of need for men's suits, or you know, the fancier ladies' dresses. But we do have a small closet where we hang wedding type dresses. Sometimes prom dresses come in. Sometimes wedding gowns even come in, and they usually go right out.
Really?
So if a person has a need for us. We've had people come in who didn't have a suit and were going to a funeral,
mm-hmm.
or were looking for a suit for a job interview. And
right.
So sometimes those get taken, but more the work-type clothing.
Right.
For men especially.
Mm-hmm.
Jeans and the work-type pants and shirts that men wear.
But you do get some call for the, as you say, the fancy clothing. Now, if someone borrows a suit, say, to go to a funeral or a wedding, do they bring it back afterwards? Or do they tend to
ask them to bring it back.
No, but they might.
Yes, they could if they want. they surely could.
Yeah, if they haven't got much more use for it. Well, they might have another wedding to go to, I suppose. Yeah, people tend to dress much less formally than they used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
well, even at weddings.
Sure.
I remember when I was young, people in England, at weddings, they'd wear top hats and the whole works. They usually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words or advice or exhortations to volunteers? Or?
Well, we thank everyone for the donations that they bring. But if they could limit it to two bags for family, that is fine. And we just are glad to be a service to the Ames community.
Well, it sounds as if you're a very good service, very much needed and helping people out in just when they need it.
Yeah. Most all our helpers enjoy helping others, so they feel blessed by doing that also.
Now, actually, that makes me think of something else. When people start out, I gather you want them to work on sorting the clothes in the bin, but it does sound like a more interesting job to actually deal with the people that come in. Do they get promoted?
Yeah.
Do they get promoted to that after they've been working for a while, sorting the clothes from the bin?
A lot of the people just want an assigned time. Then they come in and work and leave, and they know when they're supposed to be there, and they come and they do that. But some do not want to be on a schedule. We have a couple that help out, and they don't want to be on a schedule. So they come when it fits into their day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they appreciate not having to be on a time schedule.
Oh, so they're just free-floating, is it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we have communities outside of Ames also that come for clothing, I think all around the county and sometimes out of the county. And I think we have been told by some agencies that we are the only clothing closet that's open on a regular basis.
Oh,
I know there's a Harmony Clothes Closet in Nevada, but I'm not sure what their hours are or if they are regular hours like ours are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about monetary donations, too? Can you use those?
We have received those, but we are pretty self-sufficient. We receive a small amount of money from the Women's Ministry Board, under which we operate each year, and we don't have a lot of supplies that we need, so that seems to be sufficient.
So you appreciate the clothes really
Yes,
than money,
yes, oh yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I've been talking to Dorothy Dyer Hansen, who's one of the people that works and one of the founders, in fact, of the clothing closet at Bethesda Lutheran Church. So if you've got any donations of clothes or you'd like to help work at the closet, call 232-6256. That's the Bethesda Lutheran number, and they'll tell you how you can get involved. And you can just drop off your clothes anytime at the church. Well, thank you very much, Dorothy, for coming to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
On Local Talk.
All right. Hey, thank you, Kay. That was great. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Larry Sloan, and my co-host, Susan Franson, today, bringing you the voices of two local songwriters.
Elizabeth Zimmerman and Tom Richards.
Hi, everybody.
Great to have you with us, Tom. I hope that you can come back when we can have some more songs and a little more conversation with you. And Becca, could you play one of his songs underneath the rest of them?
Preach me a sermon about right and wrong. Fix up my mind because it's almost gone.
Song. Preacher Man, good song.
Okay, in addition to Tom Richards, our guests today have been Elizabeth Zimmerman, Ed Fallon, Dorothy Dyer Hansen from Bethesda Lutheran Church, and our reporters have been Cynthia McClure and Kay Puttock. Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. Music you've heard was Begin Again from this CD Suspended and Just Singing the Blues from the CD Stuff of Dreams, both by Elizabeth Zimmerman, and songs from Tom Richards, Old Friend and Preacher Man.
All right.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
All right. Had a great time today, Tom. It's great to have you in. Hopefully we'll get you back and maybe we can get a little longer show in with you and talk a little more. You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you'll find an archive for all of the Local Talk shows we produced since we went on the air in 2012. Recent shows will be posted to our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, great guy, can get the information. There you'll find lists of our guests and links to the organizations and other resources mentioned in our shows. And as you learned today, you can listen online from anywhere in the country. Local Talk is a production radio training workshop as well as radio show. And if you'd like to join the team as a reporter, you can contact us at 1-515-292-2878, 292-2878, or at the email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as an audience makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again
on the radio.